Patriot Correspondence number 7. Who are the 3 most notorious banksters?
Thanks for the question, Future Dan. Well, my name is Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, so this is quite appropriate. You know, first, before going into the 3 most notorious banksters, what is a bankster? Well, obviously, it's the combination of banker and gangster. But a little more clarity or context, maybe. Really, a bankster is the opposite of free market, okay? They're not competing on a fair playing field, and they're actively trying to create monopolies, oligopolies, etc. Pretty much every bankster actually uses the government in one way or another, or in multiple ways, to get rich. Kind of like the 1920s gangsters pay off the police, but much higher than that. You know, at the street level, yeah, they're paying off the police. At the highest level with the police chief, or even higher, above the mayor, etc. You know, the gangsters are playing their political game in all different ways. So, same thing here. And finally, you know, a bankster is of all races, nationalities, at this point, all genders. And we have Christine Lagarde, former head of the International Monetary Fund, now the head of the European Central Bank. Female. We have Bank of Japan, one of the most notorious central banks. So, yes, a lot of the banksters are out of New York, but it's worldwide, really. Pretty much every country right now has banksters in charge of their financial system. So, let's head into the 3 most notorious, and this is just my opinion. You know, I spent a little time researching, but this is definitely not a de facto final list. There's a lot of other contenders out there. But let's start. Drum roll, please. I kind of went in chronological order. 3 different eras of banksters, okay? You got the Rothschilds. Let's start that off. Mayor Amschel, Rothschild. The Red Shield. 1744 to 1812. Out of Frankfurt, Germany. Later on, and yeah, this is the progenitor or the patriarch of the family, right? But this is just at the beginning. What's really, the Rothschilds picked up so much steam over the 1800s into the 1900s and until today. So started off Frankfurt, Germany, but then spread to a British branch. That's where Jacob Rothschild, probably the most powerful. He was the not the third born son, but one of the sons of Mary Amschel. The French arm of the Rothschilds, the Austrian, Italian, so they all spread out thereafter. Really, you can find them all over the place now. Started off as an Oppenheimer, the protege of the Oppenheimers, and highly integrated with the German royalty. You know, after the French Revolution is really when they got, really started to pick up. This is, again, where the banksters use the government and most of the time war to get rich. So after the French, during and after the French Revolution, part of what was going on, you know, the purchasing of Hessian troops. And that even happened in, obviously, in the American Revolution. But this continued on. But that transaction for the British to purchase these mercenaries went through the Rothschilds. When there were embargoes on the European continent, the Rothschilds were able to get trade around those embargoes in various ways. So able to continue trade and keep that black market going, making much higher premiums, I'm sure, than before on all types of goods. international currency and trade was their backbone, but they obviously diversified into a lot. And that's kind of where we go transition into the second, J.P. Morgan. One of the hubs of bankster activity for decades in the Gilded Age. You know, when you go back and talk about the railroads, when the railroads, the monopolies there, and with U.S. Steel and the formation of General Electric and all those huge, huge companies coming together, late 1800s, early 1900s, right? That was J.P. Morgan involved in pretty much everything. And he was kind of an agent of the Rothschilds, right? So the Rothschilds got really rich, especially with, so kind of started off, right, with the French Revolution and then Napoleon. From there, it just expanded out all throughout Europe, Britain, and America, and beyond. But J.P. Morgan, in particular, as I said, with the railroads, but really almost everything for a good three decades at the turn of last century involved J.P. Morgan. He did get smacked down a little bit by Teddy Roosevelt, trying to fight some of these monopolies and anti-Sherman or antitrust act, right? Sherman Act, all of that. But generally speaking, J.P. Morgan and the banksters continue on. Now, when he died, John D. Rockefeller, who's not on the list, this isn't the list of the richest people necessarily by any means, but J.P. Morgan was only worth $120 million. At his death, and Rockefeller was like, I thought he was rich. So, interestingly enough, J.P. Morgan, maybe he hid his wealth very well, wink, wink. But also, you know, he was more, of course, he became very wealthy of it, and I'm sure he had a lot more than that, but he was also kind of a manager of this to some degree, right? So, not at the top of the pyramid, but a very high-level manager, really set up all the mega corporations and stuff. And yeah, there's been some legislation to fight against those corrupt monopolies. But a lot of that's coming back these days, isn't it? Ironically, right? So let's see. What do we got? You know, I won't absolutely. So I'm not a Marxist by any means. I have a master's in finance, all about free market. A lot of what J.P. Morgan did was fraudulent and criminal, but did have some effect in making America stronger, you know, organizing the railroads to be more efficient, etc. I, you know, not a fan, but he does have some accolades that of course are all over his Wikipedia page, you know, right? So, but do a little more research on these guys, by the way, if you haven't. So everybody knows J.P. Morgan, of course, right? Final thing on J.P. Morgan. The Panic of 1907. Does this sound familiar? Panic of 1907 run on the banks, lack of liquidity, essentially caused by a totally rigged market with all types of side bets and mismanagement of funds, right? Sound familiar from 2008 or maybe nowadays? So that was going on in 1907. The kit and caboodle was about to collapse. The entire American economy, financial market was down 50%+ and falling fast. J.P. Morgan organized a group of financiers and banksters, saved America, and in the end, this resulted about 6 years later, just after J.P. Morgan's death, formation of the Federal Reserve. So go read a little bit about the Panic of 1907 and J.P. Morgan's role in that. So he had his fingers in everything from the formation of Federal Reserve, U.S. Steel, General Electric, telecommunications, I mean, all over the place, right? And finally, let's go on to our third most notorious bankster, Ben Bernanke. He has a special place in my heart, not just because my name's Ben. So, Mr. Bernanke, the modern central bankster, former head of the Federal Reserve, orchestrated and quarterbacked trillions of dollars in bailouts and quantitative easing and reducing interest rates to zero and adding trillions to the Federal Reserve balance sheet, all never done before. All this was never done before, so Bernanke takes the cake. I mean, nowadays we have Jerome Powell. Pretty much Jerome Powell has, in the last 3-4 months, has done what Bernanke did in a few years. So Powell, really, at this point, is higher up. But you got to give it to the, you know, the original, not the sequel, even if the sequel's racking up more numbers. Won't go too deep into Bernanke. Hopefully a lot of folks here know about it, but 2007, 2008, 2009, massive run-up in the markets, especially real estate and subprime lending and all these other shenanigans going on. Long story short, entire economy is about to collapse. Sounds like panic in 1907, maybe. Banksters come in, save the day with quantitative easing, all the bailouts of AIG, the massive insurer, totally unprecedented, and set the precedent for what's going on now and what will happen in the future. So Bernanke wins right there. Interestingly, he went to Harvard, shared the same dorm, not the same dorm room, but dorm building of a few hundred students, at the same time as Lloyd Blankfein, who was the head of Goldman Sachs during the crises. So they were, you know, sharing bathrooms or saying knew each other from the hallway or the lunchroom or whatever at Harvard back in the early 70s. And Robert Rubin, the U.S. Treasury Secretary under Clinton. So, of course, the 2015 book, The Courage to Act, was written about Mr. Bernanke. And in that, and in future, or I wish I had the clip right now. I should go dig it up, but I'm not going to. I'm too lazy. What can I say? But Bernanke essentially admitted that the Federal Reserve did cause the Great Depression of the 1920s, 1930s. They did cause that. But they learned their lesson, and it will not happen again because of what they've learned. And it was just a mistake, and it was just an accident. And they didn't cause it on purpose to come in and swoop in like might have happened in the panic of 1907 with J.P. Morgan at the behest of the Rothschilds. So there you go, future Dan. My three most notorious banksters, brought to you by Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran, on this Patriot Correspondence. Now I got a question for you, bouncing it back to you. So, everybody knows, or at least now after listening, about the Federal Reserve, the Central Bank of America. I want you to give us a little information about previous banks chartered by Congress. Okay. I know a couple of them are in Philadelphia. I've visited them. I want you to talk a little history. I don't think it's too deep, but I want you to go over the history of previous central banks in this country, and maybe what our founding fathers thought about that, specifically Thomas Jefferson, but feel free to bring in others, you know, especially good friend Hamilton. So that's my homework assignment for you, future Dan. Otherwise, we'll be live this coming Tuesday, episode 100. Ben the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran signing off. Money. Get a good job with more pay and you're okay.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Hold on. Stop the music. Are you supporting us on Patreon? Do you know that we are doing patron-only podcasts, videos, preparedness plans, incredible tools like our master preparedness schedule? All available at Patreon for $2 a month. $2. You've got that in your couch cushions. Not only that, that money goes to pay the bills for the network. We release ebooks from the hosts for free to our patrons. It's a tremendous opportunity Not only is it a great value for $2 a month, but it makes a world of a difference for us. It pays the bills, to be frank. So support the network. Check us out at patreon.com/PBN. That's patreon.com/PBN. $2 a month. patreon.com/PBN.